We're back. We're brown. Ambition.
We need to get our brakes checked. We're a little squeaky today.
I'm tired.
Tell me about it, baby. What's going on, honey bun?
No, nothing. It's just the last few days. You know, we've been, you know, I'm doing this partnership with my friend Terry, with her, her 5-day masterclass for investing. Today's, I mean, by the time y'all hear this, it's too late. But
y'all still
today,
friends? Because you know how those partnerships can be.
I know. No, it's been going great.
No, we love
it's
Terry. Just, we know.
You know, but it's just, you know, it's just been a lot of work. And then low key, high key, I'm sure they might listen. My, my, what's it called? A company reached out to me today about like another book.
You know, everybody your publisher?
Like, yeah, my publisher. And I'm like, girl, shocking. Go sit down somewhere. The workbook just came out in November.
Book.
I'm not doing nobody's book. They can hopefully they could this could count as a notice.
You know
I'm
I could not write the whole thing. I'd be a ghostwriter for you.
No, because it's not the writing of the book part is the easiest part, girl. It's the marketing part. That's what they don't tell you. And so like they're like, ooh, and even they were asking, because oftentimes you'll have a book when it's a hardcover, you know, you eventually make the transition into soft cover. So that's a conversation they want to have. But truthfully, you only do that when the book sales are waning. But like, honestly, we just sold 800 copies last week, like 900 the week before, 2,500 the week
you
before.
You sold 800, what?
800 copies last week.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So we're still selling.
That's also amazing. You're selling more than like a first, like most authors sell.
So I'm just like, usually I'm just like, I don't know if that it's ready for paperback. Cause usually you do that as like to reinvigorate the book.
I didn't know that. Like, I mean, I always imagine like a year after a book comes out, but yours has been out for, well, you did the workbook, but 3 years now. It's like,
yeah.
Well, usually they do that. Paperbacks are more affordable.
Yes.
So for you know.
They usually say that the reason why is because that's why they like to bring it out because they're like, oh, people are not buying it. Maybe it's the price, but it's like, well, that's not true. It's held pretty steady at about 1,000 sales, give or take a week. And so I'm just kind of like, but also if you do a paperback, that's another push. The marketing required. I don't have it in me.
You got other stuff to do.
Yeah. So I'm just like, we try to save this company, child. Like y'all know I'm. You know, this is the year. I mean, we are stable.
Oh, yeah. You got time.
Yeah, but I'm just like, so just all the things. I mean, there's a lot of changes happening, but good changes. Yeah. I feel good about it. It's just a little overwhelming. Ooh, yeah, let me do that. Ooh, I need that. You know what?
Just a nice centering.
Yeah.
In through the nose. Reach up to the sky and let that shit go.
Yes. But all in all, things are going really well. It's just a lot of work.
Breathe, baby, breathe. That's all I can do. I don't know whether it's the weather, my meds, like it's probably the weather and the fact that I moved so much this week and I did so much activity. But I just was really I'm feeling optimistic. I'm finally getting through the fog and just of the first, you know, quarter of 2024 kicked my ace. But yeah, things are feeling good. Mental health check is great. One of the things that brought me so much joy is that I evicted my boys from my bathtub. I took it back.
Okay.
I was like, they have a whole bathroom upstairs that's just collecting dust. You know, it's like the bathroom where my husband will go when he wants to, you know, like blow it up. That's all it is. You know, it's like the clandestine poop. Bathroom. Yeah, anyway.
If you're lucky, you have a poop bathroom.
Yeah, and our bathtub has really become like the kids. It has everything. We have like I wanted to make the bathtub fun, so we have like a whole like a marble run for water, suction cup to the wall, and all these toys. And oh my god, so many monster trucks, blah blah blah. But I just unsuction cupped everything. I said, Rio, we're filling up a big tub. You got to pack a box. We got to go. And he actually got excited because he got to choose where stuff went on the wall in the new bathroom. And his new shower has a detachable shower head. So, you know, that's going to be a mess. but small baby steps. We planted some flowers yesterday. There was park play, lots of walking. I really wanted to call you this morning. And I was like, no. Save it for the podcast.
What happened?
Well, so I had like this interesting interaction with a dad at Rio's pre-K and I was really feeling like, anyway, I'll tell you what it is because I want to get your take on it. My husband was like, he's like, girl, run away. This feels very, he's like, don't get catfish. This feels very weird. But so anyway, dropping Rio off today at his pre-K, and you always see the other parents. We're at the door of shame where you have to go if you come in after nine, which we do every day. And you got to call and they got to be like, okay, we're coming. Anyway, so him and his daughter were there. The daughter was so cute. I usually just have a big smile whenever I see the kids and they're just like, that lady with the hair always smiles at me. So she was, whatever, we were vibing. I go to the back to the car. I got the baby in the car and I kind of hear him approaching me sort of. And I get in the car and I see him and he's looking at me like, oh, never mind. And I just rolled the window down. I was like, oh no, what is it? And he just walked up and it was the strangest thing. It's a black guy. He's like, my name is, we'll call him Terrence. So my name is Terrence. And he just looks so like down, just down. And he said, I see you're wearing a wedding ring. And I was like, oh my God. Is he going to, you know, I'm just like, oh my God. Look like this. I'm just saying, I was like, wow. Anyway, but he was like, I'm really struggling in my marriage. I wanted to know what he's like. This I'm miserable. This is, it's making me the worst version of myself. I can't sleep at night. It was very sincere and he was like opening up, but at the same time, I'm thinking to me, like a complete stranger, just based on the fact that I have a wedding ring on. And I was like, and you know, I think I see his eyes kind of getting misty. And if it had been someone that I even a little bit knew, what I would have done is get out the car, give him a hug, just offer like, you need a hug. But I had that and I was like, nah. But I did. I showed him the attached book that you and I, you know, I've talked about. And I told him, like, it sounds like maybe talking to a therapist because he had like he had a Caribbean accent, maybe Jamaican. And he said that he was so desperate to just talk to somebody because he kind of is isolated in his family and friendship. They all know each other and stuff. And he's like, I don't have anyone I can talk to who's not like a mix. Family member or someone who knows us already. And anyway, I was like, BetterHelp, use code Brown Ambition for 10%. No, I didn't say that. But I was like, you know, therapy would be great just for you. And it was just so bizarre. And part of me is like, I wish, you know, why don't we just chat to people sometimes if you're having a hard time. You know, I think in that moment he was probably just desperate for someone to just hear him and reaching out for help. And I hope he does see a therapist. But it left me feeling like just really sorry for him, really sad for him, but also like, oh, that was a human interaction that I don't get to have all the time. But then Enrique said it was probably a whole like bait and switch thing and like, I don't know what to think about it. If I see him again, I don't know what to do. I'm going to see him again. We're always the door of shame together.
It's one of two things. He was trying to do a pre-holla, you know, like, hey, I see you with your ring. I'm just so sad. Let me see. Can I be cuddled in your bosom? Let's see how she responds.
We could both commiserate.
Yes. Yeah, right. Okay. So it's either pre-holla, like, let me test the waters, or this is somebody really that was like really struggling. And sometimes it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in a position where the emotion is so to the top that you know, all of like kids just cry, you know, like, you know, I'm sad. You know, Rio's going to be like, I'm going to drop down and get my eagle on. I'm crying or whatever. In the moment, I feel it. But as an adult, you're like, I'm going to wait till I get to my car.
Repress.
It is so there. I can remember distinctly, like, for example, I went to the DMV after Jarrell passed away. You have 30 days to switch the car to their name so you can get insurance or whatever. And it was like day 28 and I go to the DMV and they're like, you know how it is when you at the, what do you want?
I'm already like, stressed just thinking about that interaction.
Especially the Jersey one. I was like, oh, I'm here. I'm trying to hold it together. You know, I'm here to switch the car and my husband, you know, and she's like, why? And I just said, he died. And she actually came out of her booth around and gave me a hug because you know what I mean? So I'm just saying that sometimes it could be that he was so full of like, I am at my wit's end. I don't have any. She seemed like nice. You probably just because you smiled and it's like, I need something. You know what I mean? And so that's what it sounds like. I mean, I'm more inclined to think that, but men always think, you know, men are up to shenanigans.
I'm going to choose to be on that. I want to choose that side.
Yeah. Because it sounds like, and it's just, I'm so glad that you gave him the book. I'm so glad. I was going to say, I hope you suggested therapy. Yeah, because I mean, obviously, there's nothing you can do.
I hadn't had my coffee yet. I was like, that's the first thing I said to him when he got finished. I was like, I have not even had any coffee yet, but I'm going to do my best because I feel like you need it.
Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Yeah, and that's such a beautiful story about the woman at the DMV.
Yeah.
I had a recent experience. I don't know if I told you, when I came back from one of my trips to Atlanta for my dad, me and Remy were at the Atlanta airport, which, listen, y'all talk a lot of shit about ATL's airport. I don't know if it's like the emotional connection. I have so many. I just love that airport. I think it's very efficient. I think the train is, you know, bar none to any other airport I've been in at getting you to your gate. Airports are huge. You ever been to Minneapolis? When I tell you I had to walk 2 effing miles just to get from the check-in to my gate area, like, what? Where's the train? Where's my transportation? Anyway, but anyway, so I get through. I had a rotten interaction. I'll just say rotten with a Delta agent who was like checking the baby stuff. And by the time I got to, now I have been throughout this airport like many times over the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I always go to the family assist line. And just so happens that this young woman, and I can't remember her name because I'm a piece of garbage, but she's a young Black woman. She works at TSA, but she's studying at Emory to be a gynecologist. And I know this about her because I've seen her so many times.
Oh.
And anyway, the last time I went through, she wasn't my girl because she's usually there in the morning. I had flown at night, so I didn't see her. But this time, and you know, like when you're really like, I'm trying to hold it together as I'm in line, but I'm feeling all these feelings. It's very early. By the time I get to the area where they're like, put your thing in a bin. No, not that bin. No, take that out. Like I was like, you know, like I was starting to cry. It was happening. And I was like, and there was no, I couldn't wipe anything. I had the baby. My hands were tied, and the lady with the bin by the bins was just like, go ahead, you know, really just trying to give me my privacy, but also I'm crying in front of all these strangers. But then who was on the other side but my bestie at the Atlanta airport in the family assist line? And she just saw me, I saw her, and she says, I got a chair for you right here. What's going on? I've never seen you this way. She talked to me like we had been friends since childhood. I just sat in that chair. She gave me a hug and she just let me sit and collecting myself. Aww. And it just didn't matter what anyone else thought about me in that moment. But, and just if you're, you know, and that's happened to me for sure. Yeah. That moment comes to mind. And if you've been the one who needed that kind of person, or you've been that person for someone, for the random person struggling, it's a beautiful thing. So thank you.
It is, just to like reach out and just like, cause you know, like at the end of the day, we're all humans. And you know, like, I mean, there has been a time or two where I've seen like, especially some young woman crying. And I'm like, remember I was at the park doing my park walk. It was a young Latina woman. She was just like sitting on this park bench. She's like 18, 19. I think she had a suitcase. She was like hysterically crying. So I walked past her, then I stopped. And I was like, I feel like I can't just leave this young woman here crying. And so I said, are you okay? But I realized she didn't speak any English. So I was like, Lord, what is my broken Spanish? I was like, ayuda, you know, tennis, you know? Mm-hmm. Yes. And she was like, cause I was nervous. My first mind, I thought to myself, she's a beautiful young girl. And I thought to myself, a beautiful young girl crying in the park. I don't want some man to come take advantage of her, you know? So I sat with her for a little while with my broken Spanish to try to figure out what's happening. She didn't really share. But I just sat with her for a little while to see, do you need a ride? Do you need, because you just hope that somebody will be there, you know, when you need to, like, you know, but so I'm just glad that he, at least for a moment, had a reprieve. and that you weren't like, get away from me, stranger danger, because that would have been really disheartening.
Which, hey, sometimes as a woman.
Yes,
but
yeah.
The context. I just saw him with a daughter. She's very cute. Yes. Looks very well cared for. You know, yeah. if it had been 2 a.m. at the park, probably a different story. Yes. Also, why would I be there? Yes. I don't know.
But it's true. People with kids always get like, that's what they tell kids. It's like the number one thing they say. They're like, if you are lost or whatever, look for a mom with a kid. Because the likelihood is that you're going to mama bear them. Come sit next to me, baby, because we're going to find your mama. We're going to, you know, like that you're probably safest with a mom with a kid. I mean, of course, you can never know for sure, but you're probably safest with a mom with a kid.
Having lived in the suburbs for a while, I will say, I think there's some moms who are waiting to be that hero. Like, they can't wait. It's like they're just looking for lost kids. Like they want to find them. I don't know. It's just a thought. But so what else is going on in the world? Businesses shaking.
I'm feeling really good. I have been making really hard business decisions. So so here is an unlock, and maybe this will help somebody with business or their career or whatever. I realized I was carrying around this thought process that for the first time I realized that's not true. Like that I believe that in order for you to have, I'm trying to think, that conflict, not conflict, what was the word I use? That confrontation, I don't know how to, I had like a perfect phrase for it, but basically that when you had to confront someone, that it had to have conflict. Meaning like, I might say like, you know, Mandy, hey, you hurt my feelings, but it always had to be like, Mandy, you really hurt my feelings. Sometimes confrontation, and I don't know if confrontation is the right word, because I feel like inherently in confrontation, there's this kind of conflict baked in, but that when a hard conversation had to be had, that there always had to kind of like been this underlying of negativity, you know, not that you're yelling or screaming, but like it couldn't be had softly or like it couldn't be had almost joyfully.
Or that they would be like really aggressive. Open to,
yes. And so.
Back or be really defensive and.
So it always made me say, I didn't want to do it because I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want. Mm-hmm. And so most recently I've been having to have in business some really hard conversations and they've all been, a friend of mine, was like, so for example, I have the guy who cuts my lawn. His name is Lewis. Super nice. So it's been winter, you know, Lewis wasn't here. Lewis came back. And if you've been to my front lawn, Mandy, to call it a lawn is...
Why does he cut? You can't...
Girl, to call it a lawn
is... Four blades of grass.
Girl, so Lewis came and then sent me like this text like, oh, 150. I said, oh my God. So I was really upset because before Lewis used to charge me...
150 for one cut?
I mean, yes. And I said, he said for clean up and cut. So he texted to me.
We need Roman to get a lawnmower.
Girl. So I was really mad. So I'm ranting and raving, not to Lewis, but to everybody else. I told because my friend Cabral suggested Lewis to me, my other friend, I was telling everybody like, oh, can you believe it? Oh, Lord. And Cabral was like, well, why not just tell Lewis that's too much money? You don't want to pay that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I am, but I'm going to have to tell him, hey, you tried it. Because in my mind, when someone does something to you, there has to be this kind of like, conflicting conference, because that's just how I grew up. That's just how it looks like. And so I avoided it because Lewis had called me to see, can I come clean? Can I come cut your grass? I didn't answer. He called me. I didn't answer. He rang the doorbell. I didn't answer. And he cut it anyway. So, I was extra pissed. Like, you cut it and now you're trying to overcut.
Oh,
so I was
man.
Already. And then I forgot to text him to say, I ain't paying it. And so a week later, here come Lewis outside again. So Cabral was like, Tiffany, Lewis is really chill. I promise you, you're the only one stressed. So I said, you know what? I am going to try to say the thing without confrontation. I said, hey, Lewis, I know you came last week and you said 150 for cleanup. Honestly, I hardly have any grass. I don't think that's a fair price. Also, too, whatever price he was trying to charge me, I said, I don't think that this is a fair price. I don't want to spend more than $30 per cut, you know, because I feel like that's fair. And that's front and back. Yeah. And Lewis rolled back. Okay. I was like, wait, what? I said, no, wait, $30 to cut the front of the lawn and the back, you know, like to blow the leaves, whatever in the back. He said, okay.
Yeah.
And I thought, Tiffany, it was like an eye-opening moment where I had thought to myself, it had to be this like head-butting. And it's like, no, you can say a thing. So that's a confrontation, if you will, but it doesn't have to be one that is filled and rife with conflict. And that I took that energy with Lewis saying, okay. And I had these a series of difficult conversations that basically the response to was, oh, okay. And I was like, wait a minute, have I been doing life wrong? So
haven't we all?
I know.
And I can't wait for you to forget this lesson, as we all do, and to have to remind yourself of it a couple of years from now.
I know. So
it's hard being a human.
Yes, it is. I told Dr. Green,
if you choose to be around other humans.
Right? I said, Dr. Green, when do I got it? What can I stop? She just laughed. She was like, girl, I never would have made it. No, it's just ongoing.
She's like, but I just felt job really security.
I know. But honestly, it was such a freeing lesson because, like I said, I just grew up in a household where conflict was like the name of the game, honey. So such a freeing lesson that, you know, you can say the thing without any underlying, like not that have underlying aggression, but not, you could say the thing with the expectation that someone's going to receive it peacefully and going to respond peacefully. And so like, you could do that, Tiffany. And so I've been doing that. And when I tell you, I've had some hard, like, conversations in business, like, downsizing conversations in business, and that's not easy. And it's been met with, okay. And I'm like, wait, what? You know? And so I've just hope that that's a lesson that somebody can kind of absorb, which is that it is possible to have the hard conversations. Some of y'all know this already, but I didn't. It's possible to have the hard conversations and it not be contentious, you know?
Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. I'm very uncomfortable because I have had a situation recently with, a close one.
Okay.
And I was so confrontational when they came to me with some feedback. And and I hate it. And, you know, this happened 2 months ago-ish, and I have been talking about it in therapy, and it's just been like, and I've been annoyed at my therapist. I don't know, she doesn't listen. I've been annoyed because I'm like, it's still the same. Nothing has been resolved. I'm like, what am I? And then last week, I was like annoyed that we were just having the same conversation. And I was like, okay, let me think differently about it because you're not. I was like, what angle have I? It's always been like, was this person wrong to say it? What, you know, was I wrong to do the thing? And what was all the things? And I had argued it from so many different angles. What I hadn't like asked myself, and I did last week, was, but wait, why was my reaction so hot? Why was I so immediately like, you know, when you turn a flame on the stove, it was one of them like, doom, doom. And I was like a nuclear, you know, explosion. And instead of just like letting myself burn out, I responded with that feeling. Anyway, so I'm not about to tell you guys how I fixed it because it's literally been a week, not even a week since I talked. Anyway, and I need to work on that. I need to like work on it. And it's only with people who I'm close to. And finally, and this is what's very frustrating about therapy. You have to be kind of and I can see Lauren doing it. I wish she was more, if I was like, if you can just point exactly to where on the page you want me to read, that would be much more efficient. But she just kind of mentions things in one big, you know, in one big train of like, you know, stream of consciousness, and that I'm hearing her say the same thing, like, well, you do seem to like, you know, really take things, you know, you do seem to think when people give you feedback sometimes that it's about you as a person, as a wife, as a sister, as a friend, as a neighbor, whatever. And then you just like assume that they want nothing to do with you and you take yourself away. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's happened a couple times. Yeah, but that's not what's happening in these times. It has happened. But those, you know, anyway. And so now I'm like, well, shit, epiphany had. But how many years have I been in this?
Girl.
And
I know. That's the thing. That's
the post-therapy
side. I know. The post-therapy side, like,
yeah.
Oh, Lord. I'm tired, Lord.
That's so exhausting. And it's exhausting because we're confronting it. You know what I mean? But it's such, but because we're confronting it, we need, that's going to make it, maybe what's his name? The lawnmower, maybe he's been in therapy and he was able to take that feedback a lot better because of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the reason someone is so afraid to give feedback.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you need that breath he gave me? You need to do that. We need to do that again. Okay. In.
I've been trying to figure out how to talk about that. Is it such a huge sort of like background thing happening the past few months? But yeah, I do need some breaths.
Okay.
I'm figuring it out. Okay. That's all I want to know. That's all I need to know.
Your best.
I'm doing my best. We all are. Yeah. I did want to bring up something because have you seen this documentary everyone's talking about Nickelodeon?
Girl, I don't know if I want to talk about it.
Called Quiet on Set.
I'm not going to watch it, but yeah.
Not even a little bit?
I mean, a little bit. I don't know. Stuff like that just always makes me so sick. I guess because I work with kids. It just...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, what
Trigger warning, just for those of you, this is essay trigger warning.
Okay, for sure, trigger warning. The documentary is for sure a trigger warning. Yeah. And they have one at the beginning. It does talk about essay when it comes to minors, what children. This particular instance is not necessarily about that.
Okay.
And part of the documentary, I started to watch. I was like, let me just see what they're talking about. And it hooks you because I was such a Nick at Night kid.
Yes.
All that was my Rome.
This is all that.
Yes. It was I wanted to dress like those kids and I wanted to be that. I wanted to be there. And you know, I loved the Amanda mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. I loved Kenan and Kel, Good Burger, like all that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they had to do a sequel no one asked for. But anyway. So I was immediately drawn in and to find out one of the cast members, Raquel Lee Bolo, she was a cast member. And then she didn't mention this, but it came out in the press recently that when she was on the Amanda show that, she spoke out about how Amanda, the actress who was like, you know, she was the son of this program. She came from all that. They gave her own show. You know, she was the star, and how like Amanda had spit on her during this whole segment and how no one stopped it. No one. And it was like multiple takes. It was on the, this is the fifth episode of the show. And not only that, but Amanda was allegedly made to continuously spit on her. Every time I said, spit it out. This is Raquel talking. Every time I said spit it out, she would spit what was in her mouth, water, whatever it was, indirectly in my face. The third time I was infuriated, so mad. The director hurried and put me on the side of the set and was like, listen, breathe in, breathe out. She's the star of the show. Don't make too much of a problem. I'm going to ask her not to spit in your face, but you have to keep your cool. And listen, Amanda at the time was also a child.
Yes. So we're going to give her grace and space.
Yes. And I just, anyway, the whole really Quiet on Set is extremely disturbing in a lot of ways, but just in a workplace context, the way that bad actors influence like a room and influence a set, whether that set is like a Hollywood set or it's, you know, it's a conference room at a major corporation or a small corporation, just how these toxic characters can infiltrate. And then all of a sudden, everyone is like, no one's talking about it, but everyone's complicit in this abuse. And it reminded me of a book that I had recently picked up that I, you know, the woman who wrote Radical Candor?
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Hold on. I have the book right here. Allow me to get my book bag.
That's a cute book bag. That yellow.
Oh, thank you. It's very bright. Multiple times at pickup or drop off, a teacher will be like, oh, I'll take Rio's backpack. I'm like, that's mine.
It's mine.
Anyway, this is a book. It's called Just Work. Kim Scott, that's her name. I believe she's a white woman. Doesn't matter. But anyway, she wrote Just Work, Get Shit Done Fast and Fair. This was her follow-up to Radical Candor. I don't know if it went as bonkers as Radical Candor did, but I hope it does because this is such an incredible book. For it's literally written not for the people who have been, well, there are instances where she's speaking to people in the workplace who have taken the abuse. And yes, she is a white woman because she mentions that multiple times in the book, but she really examines, abuse that happens, discrimination, harassment, essay, everything in a workplace. And she examines what can be done so that we can just work. just work. We can just go to a workplace and just get shit done and not have to deal with being bullied or harassed or having sexism against you. And it's extremely practical, practical. I would say if you're someone who is on the receiving end of situations like Raquel, it may not, listen, it's not going to be someone spitting in your face, but it may be someone who consistently takes credit for your ideas or consistently discounts your contributions or doesn't, who, this is a very triggering one, leaves you off an email that pertains to you. Oh, forgot to CC you. That kind of like small stuff. It'll give you, you know, strategies you can use to decide how to handle that. But it also, like, every page has sort of like a key too on like who it's for. Is it for leaders? Is it for, is it for the victims? Is it for the people causing harm? So if you, and listen, we're not, we're all, you know, I think capable of inflicting harm against one another through bias, through prejudice, through bullying, whatever, as much as we are to, as much as we are to being on the receiving end of it. And I just really like this book, and it reminded me of that situation and how I think Quiet on Set probably would not have happened had a book like, well, I don't know how to say that. People are just evil and disgusting and, you know, vile. But this is a really good book. If you have any say in, you know, what leadership at your company, what kind of trainings or like education they have to get, I would be like, hey, this is a book we need. So
I just added it to my thing.
I sat through and I just read this, like, I mean, read it so fast. So great book. That's all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you ready to get some color back, Mandra?
I would like to know where it's coming from.
From the, because you know we're entering, we're post winter. We're entering into the
Are. I might need to find another new one.
You get nice and brown when the summertime
hits. I was gardening this weekend and I did wear sunscreen. That's the thing. Do I want to be toasty and like gorgeous and wrinkly and potentially have melanoma?
No. Or like,
do I want to just say, girl, your skin color is your skin color. Just
well, question
it.
When you wear, because I do wear sunscreen. You know, but does sunscreen, I guess I don't really notice, does sunscreen mean that you actually don't tan as much?
Well, that's, I mean, tanning is sun damage, you know, there's no healthy level of tanning. So yes, if I am tanning with sunscreen, basically, you know, what does the factor mean? It factor 50 is like 50% of rays are filtered out, or I don't know.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that. I know I've read an article that's like, we think of sunscreen graded completely wrong. I may still be thinking of it wrong. Okay. But yeah, I can still tan and burn, but yeah, it's not good for your skin. So I wear lots of hats, but I don't do a good job protecting my arms. So you can tell if I've been wearing.
I was going to say, when you put your hand up, I was like,
It's not the same color. Because, you know, all my cute little makeup and stuff has SPF 30, but my Aveeno and my Aquaphor probably, which is what I'm always slathering on. Yeah. Anyway.
Now it's time to boost up, break up, boost up, break up, boost up, break. Are you going to boost? Is you going to break? What you going to do? What you going to take? La, 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 la. You got to boost the break.
Me? I feel like I do have a boost. I mean, sorry, I have a big break.
Okay, well, you know, I do a light. I'll go first because I got a big one. Light, little boost. So my boost, well, you know, since Mandy's just sharing books and all, did I ever share the book 10X is easier than 2X? I shared it on the podcast. We'll go ahead and read that book because I already talked about it. Then my other boost is my condo is just about done.
I know. Congrats.
So I bought it January, I think. I think I closed January, February of last year. So it's been basically like a year, but I closed on it and then I rented it back to the owners for a few months. And then renovations started. But I would say renovations have taken about a year, in large part because I was dragging my feet. I wasn't ready to, like, you know, make the move. But now, like, it looks really beautiful. I literally just took my cleaning lady, Ingrid, there yesterday. And, you know, she's going to clean it beautifully either this week or next week. I'm not going to move in this month because I go to South Africa May 1st to, like, the 20th. So I'm not going to move in this month because this month is really tight. I'm traveling this week to South Carolina and Florida. And then also like 2 weeks later, I'm actually getting an award with Hallmark. That, you know, Mahogany is Hallmark's like black brown brand, you know, of like cards and stuff.
I did not know that, but that's awesome.
So Hallmark is honoring me. Their Mahogany, I don't know, child, what the name of the award is. I have to fly to Atlanta for it. I just know that. Okay. So that's happening. So because of all that's happening, I was like, honestly, I want to go. My designer, Rihanna, shout out to Rihanna. When I come back, because I bought most of the furniture, it's already in the house. She's going to like stage it for me. So it'll be like largely, probably like 80%.
Oh, yeah.
I know. It's like it's a it'll comeback like from South Africa. I know.
A real
like
HGTV show. I know.
So I'm
excited.
Except
it happened over 11 months, not
I know,
6 weeks.
You know? Yeah. So I'm just really excited. Like I wasn't as excited before, just moving out of like my house that I built with Jarrell. But you know, one, the house is still here. It's not going anywhere. The kids, my sister and her two kids will live here, which is great. They're all excited. Amelia keeps asking me, when are you moving to the condo?
She's been in there measuring. Got
girl,
her measuring tape
just
out.
Like, she's like, the color's here. They already turned the man cave into the kids cave. So they're already living their best life whenever they come over. They barely say hello. Mm. They're like, whatever, girl, going off.
You know, Jarrell would love that.
I know.
It already had a strobe light, didn't it?
It did.
It was halfway there.
So, yeah, so I just like, you know, but I'm ready for it now. So that's my little boost that like, you know, life is moving on in a beautiful,
I'm so
wonderful
happy
way.
For you.
Yes. So I'm definitely going to have my house warming. Of course, you're invited. I don't know when, but I'm trying to decide if I should do like birthday party / housewarming. That won't be until like October.
That's not until October, girl.
Yeah. So I might do that, you know, that we can have everybody over, you know. So
you can do a housewarming any old time.
Exactly. Mary. Exactly. That's a little
very
boost.
Exciting.
Thank you.
That's a big boost.
Yes.
It's a big boost. Big journey. Yes. I want some pictures. Can you send some pictures?
Yes, I can.
Because it was very, there was a lot of personality in there before, but not yours.
Yes. It was very, think Betsy Johnson, for those of you who aren't familiar. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, she was the woman who lived there, Charlene, before Miss Charlene. She was a textile trader. So she traveled all around the world finding beautiful textiles, which was evident because the textures, the colors, it was very bright. It's a beautiful place. And to her taste, it was definitely very beautiful. You could tell this is a woman with great taste, but her taste was very Betsy Johnson, color, 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 mismatched prints. So that is not me. I'm a little more subdued. Although there is color, just more like earth tones. And it's just really calm and really beautiful. So excited.
Whew.
I know.
I was taking a little breath because I was just like reading a little bit about my break. I want to get ready for it.
Okay, we ready for your break? That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So last week was Black Maternal Health Week in America, and I don't have to tell like our audience. I know that you guys have heard these stories of the Kansas City Chiefs cheerleader who died most recently from sepsis, which is like blood infection, after delivering a stillborn baby girl. And she was only 40 years old. That's extremely tragic. Mm-hmm. This has almost been a year since Tori Bowie, an Olympic sprinter, was found dead while she was in labor. So we know we've heard these stories, but what I wanted to highlight is two Black women who are doing something about it.
Yes.
So Elaine Welteroth, love her, semi-idolized just a little bit, and Serena Williams have come together to create Birth Fund. And I'm going to tell you guys about it. And Serena Williams, you remember, she did a whole documentary on her childbirth story, probably not even expecting to be documenting her own example of just the way that Black female bodies are looked at, you know, and underestimated, understood, and not treated the way that they should be when it comes to childbirth, because she almost died in her own childbirth. Yes. And Elaine Welteroth has talked about how, you know, she has a little boy and how it changed her whole approach to having a kid. She went and got a doula. And basically that is what Birth Fund is going to help with. It's going to, hold on a second. Okay, sorry. Yeah, so I wanted to be sure I said it right. So Birth Fund, it's going to be help. It's a nonprofit that's going to help basically give access to quality care and life-saving education to women, women of color. So that'll include like doulas. It could be, what do you call it? Not a doula, but like a what's the other
midwife?
Midwife. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Access to those so that they can have the additional care and additional eyes on the mom at all time. And I just thought that that was wonderful. So if you guys want to check that out, it's called Birth Fund, and we'll post a link to the show notes, but from two women who are using their platform for good. I just think that that's,
I love that.
Finally, something that we can say in the conversation about Black maternal health, not just that it's happening, but that
this is like, to me, this is the argument for like Black and brown wealth, right? I remember feeling guilty about making money because I was like, I have enough. And I remember one of my mentors said, okay, then just use the part that you have for yourself. And then the excess, you use it to help causes that otherwise would not be highlighted unless a Black woman stood up and said so. Mm. You know? And I thought like, okay, that like Serena Williams, I don't know if you saw Mandy, there was like this post about like, she has, you know, she's a venture capitalist. She funds different companies. And of the 42 companies or something that she's funded, 18 are unicorns, which means they're worth over $1 billion. So I just say, you know, if I was a betting woman, I'd bet on Serena. And
she
so,
never missed.
Right? Does she need this level of wealth? No. For herself personally, no. But what you see is that at that level of wealth, of access, of prestige, if you will, that she gets to have a big voice in something like this, because who else is going to do something and champion, you know, Black maternal health, but Black moms? I mean, not to say no one, but who, I mean, it's coming from a place of this was me. You know what I mean? Like, I think to myself all the time, like for like this, the most deadly blood disease that children die from, sickle cell, but it overwhelmingly affects Black and brown children, but especially Black children. And there's been no major advancements in like in the last 30 years, although I think my sister was telling me there was something, and I've got a family member with sickle cell. And I'm just like, why has there not been any major advancements? Because it doesn't affect the quote unquote larger population. Although it's the number one killer of blood disease of children. And so I thought, well, someone is going to have a say, and it has to be a big voice. And one of the ways to have access to that big voice is when we grow wealth for ourselves, because we will champion things that other communities might not even think of. Sometimes it's benign neglect, you know? So I love that they're using their voice, their funds, their access, their network, you know, to highlight this. I love that.
Yes. Thebirthfund.com. We're going to put a link in. That's incredible. And I can't wait to hear about whatever work you're doing for sickle cell, because it's not surprising, but it's appalling that, you know, babies are still being afflicted with this disease, which I'm sure we could cure, you know, if we just put more money behind it.
Before we jump off, you know, we always begging, honey. Have you ever heard of the term dry begging?
Dry begging?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. Jarrell used to say it. And I'm like, is it that a Jarrell saying, or is that like, you know, like hood vernacular? I'm not sure. If anybody knows what dry begging, no, I don't know what it means. Because sometimes I would hear people say, oh, they dry begging. And I'm like, what is dry begging?
Like when you don't have anything to offer. Well, I'm going to Google it, girl.
Well, as opposed to wet begging? Anyway, if anybody knows. Okay, go ahead. Well, it's up there?
Of course it's on there.
Okay, what does it mean? Okay, what does it mean?
It is, okay, so there's a couple definitions. Should I read? The Facebook one is on top, but I don't know if I trust Facebook. But let's see. It refers to an indirect request. So if you're asking for it in an indirect or roundabout way. Rio is the king of this.
Okay.
The way that, like, we were hanging out with a little girl next to during the solar eclipse. We were invited to go across the street to our neighbor's house. There's an 8-year-old girl. She's got like Oreos, Chips Ahoy. She got a whole snack, you know, whatever. And Rio, of course, is like beeline for these things. But all he does, instead of just asking, can I have a cookie? He's like, hey, mama, did you know I always love chocolate chip cookies?
Okay, drop that kid.
And I was like, mama, did you know I always love gummy bales?
Like, I love that. Okay.
Just ask the girl for a go. Yeah. Okay. So that's dry begging.
Okay. Dry begging. Okay. So anyway, we're not dry begging. We're wet begging. Go ahead and leave us a review. We're moist begging.
Well, no, not moist. We made it worse. Say something different.
We are going to ask you to leave us a review. wherever you listen to podcasts, especially if you listen via Apple. It's not iTunes, but more Apple Podcasts, I guess.
Apple Podcasts.
Right? We might read them out loud. Mandy has some reviews she's going to read. Leave us a review. Share the show. Mandy, you're up. Yes, what reviews you want to read this week?
We are going to wait one moment. I need to get Chartable up. Well, shout out to us. We hit 2,450. Enrique, no. I'm doing the podcast. I'll call you back. Ooh. All right. Okay. We have two new reviews to read. Thank you to Michelle XX92, who said 10 out of 10. I love the show and the energy you both bring to the table. I've learned so much. Please continue to do what you're doing. See?
Thank you, Michu.
Sweet, simple, to the point. That's perfectly fine. But you can also like go all in as a listener whose name is Ashtivikakakajabataba00011, who clearly was like, I left a long review. Now I'm just going to like attack the keyboard and not give you my real name. But her review is 5 stars. Girl boss gang, she says. I've listened to this podcast over the years, and it's been so enjoyable hearing women who are further in life than me share their experiences, ups and downs, perspectives, and wins over challenges. This podcast is a breath of fresh air week after week, even the non-finance related parts. It all just works. Definitely listen if you're trying to achieve anything in life while remaining integral and balanced, especially as a woman. It's inspirational and encouraging to hear these two ladies' experiences and advice week by week.
Aww, I love that.
So sweet and thoughtful.
I love that.
So sweet. Yeah. So you guys, we read every single one of these reviews.
Mm-hmm. By we, she means Mandy.
What's that?
Yeah, by we mean Mandy.
Well, yes, I'm always here.
I don't know
here.
How to find it. It's like, do I log into Chartable?
Honey, you know you're capable. See, you treat me like I treat my husband when it comes to like, but only you know how to take the cardboard and break it down. I'm just gonna leave it outside on the deck. Just open the back door and just throw it out there. And he's like, you know you could. I'm like, no, you do it better. Yeah, it's okay. I'll be your work husband. It's all right. You bring so much else to the show. You know what I mean? Thank you guys so much. These reviews are everything. Please leave one. You can leave it on Apple Podcasts. Even Spotify, I think, hasn't, but Apple Podcasts is where it's at. Okay. And while you're at it, share the show with a friend. Mm-hmm. Make sure you let them know to also check it out, because we've only gone 8 years strong because of y'all, BA fan, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't be here without you.
Yeah, we love you.
Maybe we would just be hanging out talking, but.
But we'll see you on Friday. Like, don't worry, because we have our BAQA on Friday. And we've been doing throwbacks on Monday. So you get Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. So.
Absolutely. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.